I'm Nash Wedderburn, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. Today we recap the week that was and examine notable market-moving events which span monetary policy to geopolitics and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's guest is Investment Associate Analyst Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Mike Gord. Mike, great to have you back as always. Good morning.
Good morning, Nash. Thanks for having me.
And we'll kick off on a topic that touch on, which is U.S.-China trade, but the FOMC meetings that we had this week. Before we get deep into that, let's talk about what happened and recap for the audience, as well as how it matched up with CIO's expectations. Also, some of the notable takeaways that Fed Chair Jerome Powell gave at the press conference.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure we will get back to U.S.-China trade, as we always do. So the Fed went ahead and cut interest rates by 25 basis points this week. This was in line with CIOs and market expectations. Additionally, the official statement was little changed from the last meeting. However, there were a couple comments I want to highlight from the press conference. Powell urged that this is an insurance cut against rising uncertainty around trade policy and slowing growth overseas. But like in previous meetings, he claimed that the Fed will act as appropriate to maintain the expansion, but noted that they could move aggressively, including using quantitative easing measures if necessary. Okay. That being said, he doesn't see U.S. rates going negative as they are overseas. So we continue to expect the Fed to cut again this year, and based off of the new dot plot that was put out yesterday, with almost half of Fed participants agreeing with us that there will be one additional rate cut this year. Basically, that means that there isn't much needed to lock in that last rate cut for this year.
Okay. And I guess aside from that, can you recap what we saw on the macro events or any data points that's notable from this past week?
Yeah, actually, before I do, I just want to caveat our Fed rate expectations, just given how quickly things are moving and how quickly things can turn around here. So our estimate for the Fed funds rate at the end of 2020 has an upper limit, the upper end of the range of 1%. Okay. So that's contingent upon several assumptions, and the most important one being that all of the announced tariffs, everything that's been announced, will go into effect as announced. And then it's any follow-on implications for growth in various regions as a result of these increased tariffs and still high levels of uncertainty. So given that there are signs that this might be cooling off a little bit, like the recent rollback, China rolled back some tariffs on some agricultural products, and the U.S. decided to delay by a few weeks one of the upcoming tranches of tariffs. There are signs that both leaders are kind of seeing the negative effects that these are having on their respective economies. So any type of hesitation, pause, rollback, even a type of mini deal or just an agreement to suspend things for 6 months, all of that will likely lead to a better growth outlook, which will then require the Fed to cut fewer times than what our current expectation is.
Okay.
So contingent on that. So, as I said, we would get to U.S.-China trade. But outside of that, there were a couple of positive data points this week. First one I want to highlight: industrial production and capacity utilization, both indicators of the health of the manufacturing sector of the U.S. economy. They both had surprising beats this week. We're going to continue to monitor these closely, see if there's any more weakness or if we might have found a trough in the data and maybe things are going to rebound from here. Additionally, we got strong results in housing starts, existing home sales, and building permits. So a lot of this is a result of the recent decline in interest rates. But it's still it's a good indicator that the U.S. consumer is still strong. They're still spending on housing. They're really still propping up the overall economy.
So stateside, everything came out this week pretty strong.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'd say better than expectations overall.
Perfect. And then I guess turning our sights overseas, we saw the attack on the Saudi Arabia oil installations from last weekend seemed to be on the minds of a lot of investors, as we know, right? What was the story there? And can you recap CIO's outlook for oil prices at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I'm sure everyone is aware of at this point, last weekend, sophisticated drone strike on Saudi refinery capabilities. The latest on the story is that the Saudis have come out claiming that they have evidence that indisputably points to Iran as the culprit of the attacks.
Yep.
The evidence hasn't been made public yet, but the U.S. and the Saudis are working together to try to identify really who was behind it, where the strike originated, so they can put together a proper response. Yesterday, President Trump tweeted that there will be increasing sanctions on Iran. I'm not sure if those details have come out yet, but it will likely be further sanctions on a few of the leaders, individuals, as well as other businesses. So we'll wait to see a little bit more details there. Bottom line is here, it's unlikely the U.S. is going to want to get dragged back into another military Absolutely. Conflict in the mm-hmm. Middle East, especially with an election coming up. Yep. That's going to be a tight one. It's going to be contested. I don't see Trump as likely to use real military force mm-hmm. in Iran. Especially given the Iranians' response that any Saudi or U.S. response to this recent strike will lead to all-out war.
Exactly.
It's unlikely. But that being said, tensions are hot. Mistakes happen. So there is a risk case that we do get an escalation. And for what it means for oil, in this risk case of an escalation, it's probably pretty likely you'll see triple-digit oil prices. There after the strike last weekend, markets immediately priced in, even beyond the increase in price due to the supply disruption mm-hmm. from the Saudis. Oil is now pricing in a decent risk premium because these tensions tend to flare up rather than die down.
Yeah.
That being said, again, we don't see that as likely. It's not our base case. Our base case is oil stays fairly range bound, 60 to 70. It's going to be volatile mm-hmm. And slowly drift a little bit lower as tensions die down over the next year.
Okay, interesting. So I guess with that just recapping this week, what can investors look forward to next week? I guess, what should we be keeping our eyes out on?
Yep. A couple more data points coming out next week. On Monday, we get the market preliminary PMI readings. Mm-hmm. Give us just a quick take on what the September data is coming in. On Thursday, we get the third readings for second quarter US GDP and PCE inflation. So if we get any revisions that are notable changes to the previous revision, that's going to be a point that the Fed's going to be focused on. So that's something we're focused on as well. And then Friday, we get personal income and personal spending for August. We're expecting a modest increase in wages, and that should help keep spending in healthy levels.
Okay, so we'll keep our eyes out on that. I can't let you go without asking, is there anything you want to add on the U.S.-China trade front, maybe, that we might look ahead?
All so fluid. I'd just say we're expecting surprises.
Oh, that's the best way to put it. Thanks again, Mike.
Thanks, Nash.
Again, we've been joined by Investment Associate Analyst Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Mike Gord. There are many publications available now on UBS Online Services. For clients of UBS, be sure to contact your financial advisor if you'd like to receive a copy of the publication directly. Top of the morning, we'll be back again for you Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everyone.
This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.